Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you tune in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. My name's Daryl Ong, and on today's show, we feature a sport that almost made it to the SEA Games, but was dropped because, according to the Olympic Council of Malaysia, the OCM president, he said that Malaysia lacks the competitiveness in the sport to give a strong enough challenge. This week, we explore the world of dragon boating. Someone who disagrees with that notion is one Leslie Lim, the team captain of KL Barbarians, a dragon boating team that has developed into a unique crew of enthusiastic members from a range of varying professions, eager to prove themselves on the water. This week we're fortunate to have Leslie on the show, and she started off with the rich history and culture behind dragon boating.
Dragon boating has very ancient Chinese origins. It relates to the Chinese poet Qu Yuan, who was well-loved by the citizens and the people. But at that time, China was going through a stage where the government was very corrupt, and Qu Yuan just couldn't take this anymore. And in an act to display his dissatisfaction with the current state of the government, he drowned himself in the Milo River. And the people, because they loved him so much, they took their boats, their fishing boats, and they went out into the river and they beat the sides of their boats to scare the fishes away because they didn't want the fishes to eat the body, right. His body. And they also threw little packets of rice into the river also to prevent the fishes from eating his body. So that really is the ancient story of how dragon boating came about and how it relates to the dumpling festival. But today, dragon boating has actually evolved into the world's fastest growing water sport. Many European countries also take part in dragon boating. So it's people have this perception that only the Chinese do dragon boating or only the Asians do dragon boating. But some of the strongest teams in the world actually come from countries like Canada, Germany.
It's an international sport.
Yeah, it is. It is very, very much an international sport.
All right, Leslie, before we get into the history of KL Barbarians, can you just give me your account of how you first stumbled into dragon boating and what hooked you into the sport?
Oh, wow. That's actually going to relate to the history of the KL Barbarians.
Okay.
So maybe I'll just fuse the whole story together.
Sure.
So the founder of our team is a gentleman by the name of Li Shi. He is a lawyer who practices in the law firm of Screen. So Screen has their own dragon boat team called the Screen Dragons. And after paddling with them for a number of years, Li Shi liked the sport very much, was very, very passionate about it. And he really wanted to share about it with more people. And so naturally, the first group of people that he reached out to was fellow lawyers. And he organized what was called an introductory workshop to dragon boating. And I attended one of those first workshops. Mm. This is back in 2011.
Right. Did you know what dragon boating was?
No,
at that time?
I had no idea. I saw the flyer. It came in by way of an email through the Kuala Lumpur bar, which is the bar who governs the Kuala Lumpur lawyers. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Oh wow, this is interesting. I've always wanted to try a water sport. I had absolutely no idea what dragon boating was." And so I attended the workshop, found it really, really, really interesting. You know, it also was an opportunity to meet new friends, mm-hmm. fellow lawyers. And that's how we actually started. So from that workshop, a group of us, there was about 20 over of us, we started training weekly, run by Li Shi. And one day Li Shi came to us and said that, just shortly after the workshop, Li Shi said, "Hey guys, there's this race that's going to happen right here in Putrajaya in 10 weeks' time. And I would like to sign you guys up for the beginners category.
And at that point, you've just been to one workshop.
Yeah, one workshop. We probably, I think we probably only had maybe two trainings in the water. And he's like, okay, there's a release coming up. I would really like to sign you all up for the beginners category. Mm. And I want to challenge you all. Let's train as hard as we can for the next 10 weeks and just see how it goes. You know, we go there and experience the race together. It'll be fun. And we said, oh, you know what? Why not? Okay, we're already in this. Let's just give it a go. And because it was in Putrajaya, our home ground, we thought, you know, there was really nothing to lose. And I still vividly remember that first race.
Yeah.
I always tell people you will never forget your first race, and that is the case for me as well.
Mm. Do tell.
So we made it to the finals of the beginners category.
Oh, nice.
And I still remember the feeling of being at that start line. It was a big boat event, so we had 22 people on the boat. And next to us was a team by Putra Heights, the developers.
Mm.
And they had basically joined the beginners category as well, put together a corporate team made up of their employees. And they were the favorites to win. I can't remember why, but for some reason, I know that they were the favorites to win. Nobody knew who we were, you know.
Right.
We were just this group of people. We didn't look like we knew what we were doing, and we were walking around our big baggy green jerseys that we had, you know, got some supplier to put together in 2 weeks. And we won that particular race.
That's nice.
Yeah, we actually got the gold medal.
Mm.
I also still remember very vividly Li Shi, that proud look on his face when he put the medal on each and every one of us. And that really is the start of the team.
Yeah, and that's the start of the team. And that's, I assume, that's what got you hooked.
Yeah.
Even until now. I mean, now you're team captain.
Yes. 6 years down the road, here we are today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What do you like most about dragon boating? Is it the energetic aspect of it? Is it the teamwork side of it?
I think one major thing that makes dragon boating very different from you know, all the other team sports that we see out there is that in other team sports, there's always a superstar.
Okay.
You know, in football,
yeah,
it will always be the guy who scores the goal or the guy who does that beautiful free kick. In rugby, it will be that guy who does the try. But in dragon boating, there is absolutely no space on the boat for a superstar. Every single person on the boat has a part to play. And it's just the nature of the sport that requires everyone on the boat to be in absolute synchronization.
Right.
The moment one person goes out, even if it's for half a second, you're half a second slower, half a second faster, it has a physical impact on the boat.
Mm.
And that will then affect, of course, your timing and how quickly you get to the finish line.
Mm.
So to me, that's, I think I was very much drawn by that, you know, having to get 20 people to work together and to do the exact same thing at the exact same time and still race to the finish line with that adrenaline. So I think that is really one of the major...
How everyone has their own roles.
Yes,
like
roles and just really having to work together.
Mm. All right, dragon boating, can you just tell me how it works? I mean, yeah, sure, 20 guys on a boat and a drum right in front. 20 paddlers is what you call them, right?
Yep. So a big boat would be able to fit 20 paddlers, 10 rows basically. So they sit left and right, side by side. At the front of the boat, there will be a drummer who will basically be actively drumming throughout the race. So you hear doom, doom, doom at the front of the boat. And that's also where the head of the boat, the dragon head is at the front of the boat. At the back of the boat, you have what we call the steerer. And he sits near where the tail of the boat is.
Okay.
And he's basically the person who steers the boat, keeping us straight within our race lanes, guiding us towards the finish line. Mm.
Does it matter if you're left-handed or right-handed?
No, not really. I'm a right-hander, but I'm a left paddler.
Okay.
So eventually, most paddlers will develop what we call a stronger side.
Mm.
But I know of many teams out there who encourage their paddlers to train both sides.
Both sides.
Yeah. Also to sort of balance the muscles in the body.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about the different kind of races and, you know, the different rules that goes into dragon boating?
Sure. Very briefly, just now I mentioned about 20 paddlers on the boat. So those are for what we call big boat events. There's also small boat events where you have 10 paddlers only.
Mm-hmm.
So just 5 rows, but also with the drummer and a steerer. So races differ usually in terms of whether it's big boat, small boat. And then the different configurations that sit within the boat.
Okay.
So you have a open configuration, which is basically there's no restriction in terms of gender. So what most teams do is they obviously fill all their men. So generally the open boats are filled up with men. You have a mixed configuration. So there is a specific number of men and women that have to be on the boat. And then you have also a ladies category, where it's basically all ladies on the boat. Mm. And then there is also a difference in terms of race distances.
Yeah.
So we have raced in 100-meter races, 200 meters, 250. There's also 500. And we've also raced in a 2-kilometer race before.
Okay. Yes. I mean, 100 meters does sound short, but I guess when you're on the boat, it's not really...
100 meters, your ideal target is to complete it under 30 seconds.
30 seconds?
Under 30 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah. And all men's boats should be able to complete it under 30 seconds. So 200 meters should be under a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are different competitions all around the world. Can you just tell me a rundown of what KL Barbarians or which competitions KL Barbarians have attended?
Sure. We started off attending a lot of local races, like I mentioned. We started off with Putrajaya. One particular local race that we attend very regularly is the Penang International Dragon Boat Festival, organized by the Penang International Dragon Boat Federation. And that race runs every year, so we go for that race. We have attended other local races in Malacca, in Tanjung Malim. We started going for our first international race in 2014.
Okay.
That was to Singapore. So we've been to Singapore a couple of times. We have also been to Boracay in the Philippines. Mm. And one of the most major race that we've ever been to was in April 2016, where we traveled to Adelaide, Australia to compete in the Club Crew World Championships.
Yeah, and you guys actually the only team, right, from Malaysia to represent.
Yes, we were the only team. Very fortunately, that particular year, we were the only team that was interested to go. So the Club Crew World Championships is basically the world championships for all Dragon Boat clubs in the world.
Okay.
So that particular year, we had seen it on calendar, we discussed about it, and we said, this is would be a major milestone for us to experience together. And that particular year, the team was turning 5. Mm. So we decided, okay, Adelaide was also very doable in terms of the financial aspects, because previous years the world championships would be held in a lot of the European countries. Mm. So we're a lot more expensive, whereas Australia is nearer and slightly cheaper. So we decided to venture there for that race. And fortunately, because there were no other teams in Malaysia that was planning to go that particular year, we then didn't have to go through a selection process. And we're very fortunate to be the only Malaysian team.
Yeah, and the sole flag bearers.
Yeah, yes.
What are some of the differences you see with dragon boaters from the East as compared to the West?
Generally, I feel that every single race, whether it's overseas or local, no matter how big or how small, brings about a different experience.
Okay.
There will always be a different challenge and a different experience to take home, to improve on. Going out there, meeting other teams, what we see is different paddling styles. There's a trend whereby the Chinese or the Asian teams will have one particular paddling style, and then the European teams will have one paddling style, and then teams evolve and they change their stroke, and then we have discussions about that. So the part I probably like the most is meeting all these fellow paddlers, and it's although we don't know each other, we then speak this common language because we start talking about, you know, how our teams train, our different experiences, and It's great. Just going out there watching, and because the physical aspect also makes a difference. You notice, of course, the European teams are generally bigger, taller, so that naturally makes them stronger. Asian teams then sometimes struggle to cope with that. So we then make adjustments in terms of our paddling stroke to make it more efficient.
Okay. Yeah. So is it a case of where you see your opponent and cater and kind of change up your paddling styles to your opponent?
Well, I believe some of the more probably experienced and maybe more mature teams are able to do that. But for us, because we're very diverse, so just drawing back a little bit to the history of the KL Barbarians, we started off as a group of lawyers. But since the very start, we were very open and we welcomed anyone to join us. And it became a point in time where the non-lawyers started to outnumber the lawyers.
Right.
And we decided, okay, you know, being under the banner of KL Bar is not going to work out anymore. It's not a very feasible option. And we just became this open corporate team, welcoming and open to anyone to join us to try the sport.
And was that the plan from the beginning?
Not really. I think it was a very natural development. And what, you know, we just wanted to reach out to as many people as possible. Mm. The objective of the team has always been to grow the team and also to grow the sport in Malaysia. So I think that hasn't changed to today. And just going back to your question, because we are such made up of such a diverse group of people, ranging in terms of height and weight, we constantly have to change our stroke to adjust to be able to cater across the board.
Okay.
So some teams have it maybe slightly easier because I've seen the Thailand team, a national team, of course. The guys, they look like carbon copies of each other. They, you know, they are the same
they
height.
They come up from the factory
or
something.
Yeah, correct. The Thai team, the Chinese team. And so in that sense, but, you know, they are a professional national team, whereas we're a corporate team, you know. We are made up of adults with working lives.
Yeah.
And we only do this on weekends. So...
But you guys still seem pretty serious about it, right?
We do train fairly seriously. I mean... We train really, really hard, and I believe we go into every race wanting to give our best, to bring the best outcome.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. Tell me a bit about your training regime. You know, how often you guys train, and you know, on the weekends, right? And also where do you guys train?
Currently, we train in Putrajaya. Our current base is at Putrajaya Lake Club. So that is our lake training, which basically our water time, and it only happens on weekends, simply due to the distance of, you know, how far Putrajaya is from town, where we all work on weekdays. It's not feasible for us to travel to Putrajaya on weekdays to have water time. So that is lake training only happens on the weekends. But what we do is, at lake training, we focus a lot on the paddling technique and synchronization, stuff that we need to work on the boat. On weekdays, because we're here in the Klang Valley, we conduct land drills on Tuesday and Thursday nights.
Okay.
So we go to a park where we do a lot of exercises and workouts, which help build on our strength, our fitness and conditioning. Mm. And then we then apply that
On
the weekends, on the boat as well.
So it's not just a weekend thing, it's like throughout?
No, it's throughout. So a lot of our paddlers, because they want to improve themselves as a paddler, have also gone over and above that. If, you know, they have their own gym workout, a lot of us have taken up CrossFit, all just to build that extra strength and fitness for it to apply on the boat.
That was Leslie Lim, captain of the dragon boating team KL Barbarians. Coming up, we'll explore more about the world of dragon boating. My name's Darryl Ong. Do stay tuned. This is Bar None on BFM 89.9.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Next stop, Graham Street. And Brian in the khaki shorts. Your GNL energy bill went up 60% this month. Seems like you want to know. Stand clear of the closing doors.
So, meet Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong, like increases to a recurring bill, then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. Limitations apply.
BFM 89.9, you tune in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. And this week, we've been exploring the world of dragon boating with Leslie Lim, the team captain of KL Barbarians. And we picked up where we left off by touching on what, in my opinion anyway, is the most fun about dragon boating. The heartbeat of the dragon boat, the drumming.
Generally, we choose a light person
to
sit at the front of the boat. Any additional weight, it means, you know, and it means it's what the paddlers have to carry.
There is a bit of science involved.
There is. Weight is actually a major factor.
Okay. Yeah. So bring me through the drummer's role. You know, what does he do? Does he set the pace? Does he set the energy, that sort of thing?
The drummer is what we call, because of how he or she is beating the drum constantly throughout the race, It's also known as the heartbeat of the dragon.
Mm, okay.
That is actually the symbol and the significance of the drummer. So yes, the drummer sits in front and drums and also works together with what we call the pacers, which is the guys who sit in the first row to work on setting the pace for the rest of the boat.
Right.
Yes. Going into a race, we have what we call a race strategy.
Okay.
Yeah, so we would have trained specific race strategies many, many times before a particular race. Mm. So just to share with you, generally a race strategy basically starts off with some race starts, which will involve some sprints. So the boat will sprint a little bit, and depending on the race distance, there will be the majority of the portion of the race will be what we call our maintenance stroke. So that's a very steady and long, hard pulls just to get us through the distance. Mm. And then towards the end, most teams have what we call a charge or an all-out where...
Towards the finishing line.
Yes, correct. You basically up the pace and you just charge all the way to the finish
line. And all these different signals are controlled by the drummer?
Not necessarily. Okay. Not necessarily, okay. Yeah. So because we would have practiced it many, many times beforehand.
So you know when to do it and stuff.
Yes, correct. A call will be made by someone on the boat.
Okay.
It varies from team to team.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What happens if the weather doesn't go your way?
Different race sites actually bring about different water conditions.
Okay.
So it's not just about the sky, it's actually the water is also a major factor. So we recently just came back from Langkawi. Just to give you an example, Langkawi was a open water racing. And so you're basically dealing with sea conditions.
Sea, right.
And the first day that we arrived there, you know, the waters were really rough. You know, we have to deal with waves and wind. And those are some of the things that we have to deal with.
So how do you guys actually get over that and you know, because you guys are conditioned to train in a lake, right? So you're used to
which
a certain...
Which is calm water.
Yeah.
Well, depending on the situation, we then brief the team and we adjust on a case-to-case basis. So some water conditions have lighter water, some have heavier water. Like in Penang, we paddle in... The race is in a dam, in the Teluk Bahang Dam.
Okay.
So there are huge crosswinds that come across in the afternoon. So that, again... puts a lot on the steerer to make sure that the boat, you know, stays straight. We don't swerve off course. We don't crash into another team.
Wow, it sounds kind of stressful actually, because you're leading the whole boat, right? The steerer.
Yes, a lot of pressure. I think many times the significance and the importance of a steerer is overlooked. You know, he or she really is that guy who brings us to the finish line. Mm. But at the end of the day, like I said, everyone on the boat has a part to play.
Yeah.
And that is basically the steerer's role.
Yeah, I mean, teamwork's definitely there.
Yep, correct.
Teamwork is definitely
all back to teamwork.
Essential in dragon boating. But what are some of the other attributes that you find you need to have when you're dragon boating?
So the main thing that we always emphasize in dragon boating is synchronization.
Okay.
Synchronization, which of course, you know, goes back to all the teamwork, you know, cooperation, really working together. But without that synchronization, it's not going to work. Like I said, it's very, very evident and very obvious when one person is out of sync from the rest of the boat. And that's one of the main things we work on in our training, is just getting everybody to paddle as one.
Right. Is it a case of synchronization over strength?
I would put synchronization first. So as much strength as you have, if that 20 men are not paddling together, you know, and they have all those muscles in their body, a team who is synchronized may actually get to the finish line first.
Yes, teamwork always wins.
Yes, in dragon boating.
In dragon boating. Well, why do you think that dragon boating isn't a mainstream sport in Malaysia yet?
First of all, it's not many people are aware that dragon boating exists.
Yeah.
I think over the 6 years that this team has been around the KL Barbarians, we have tried to reach out to as many people as we can. And many a times we end up having to explain, just as how I'm doing right now, what exactly is dragon boating.
Yeah.
So I think the awareness is one thing. You know, a lot of sports start off as a non-mainstream sport. I think we've seen sports like ultimate frisbee, even rock climbing. You know, once upon a time, people didn't know what was that about. But look at where they are today. And I do believe very strongly that dragon boating will reach that kind of level of mainstream sport right here in Malaysia soon.
That's great. Back in 2010, mm-hmm. A bit of a dark turn now. Mm-hmm. There was quite a major accident in Penang in dragon boating.
Involving the school kid.
Involving the school kids, which left 6 people dead and 12 injured. Yeah. I guess on the issue of safety now, how does KL Barbarians ensure the safety of its participants?
Knowing how to swim isn't a prerequisite.
Right.
To okay. learning dragon boating.
Okay.
That's one of the very common questions that we get asked. So you don't need to know how to swim in order to take up dragon boating. But what we try to instill in our members is what we call water confidence. Mm. So when we go out, whether it's to train or to race, number one, we have to wear what we call a PFD.
PFD?
So, yeah, a PFD stands for a personal flotation device. It's just slightly different from a life jacket because a life jacket is designed to keep you out there in the water for days. A PFD is meant to keep you afloat, perhaps for a couple of hours, because wherever we are, whether it's training or in a race, there's usually a boat nearby. So the moment anything happens to the dragon boat, whether you crash or you capsize, that safety boat will immediately come and get you. So that, yeah, the PFD is just meant to keep you afloat for that couple of moments until the boat comes. So, like I said, for our team, we instill what we call water confidence in our members. Once the paddlers get on the boat and before we move away from the shore, we do what we call a count off just to ensure the exact number of people who are on the boat,
okay.
ensuring that each paddler knows who's the person next to them. And in the event of an unlikely capsize or a crash, the paddlers are confident and assured that they know what to do and not to panic in that particular situation. Mm. We've even gone one level above just to ensure that if a particular person can't swim, there's someone nearby who will look out for them immediately. So we do this, you know, partner buddy system.
Okay.
Yeah, and things like that. So these are some of the little things that we've in place. But rule number one, you always have to wear your PFD, no matter, you know, the moment you get on the boat and we're heading out, you have to wear your PFD.
Mm, better safe than sorry.
Of course, right. Definitely.
Past SEA Games, mm-hmm. dragon boating was actually mooted to be one of the sport.
Yeah.
But it got taken out just before the games, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I would love to see dragon boating as part of the SEA Games. Dragon boating was one of the sports in the 2015 SEA Games in Singapore.
In Singapore, yeah.
So, but I understand where the organizing committee or the people making the decision is coming from. Malaysia doesn't have a national team for dragon boating, so it would involve having to go through that process of putting together a national team and making sure that the team is strong enough or able to at least be a formidable team before we even perhaps consider placing it in a sport. But someday, I mean, I've had many conversations about this with fellow dragon boaters from other teams, and this is something we really, really like to see happen someday. I think it's something all of us will actually, you know, if there's a selection process, I really highly believe that there a huge number of people will come and try out for it.
And hopefully you see some of the KL Barbarian participants in
that would be awesome.
Yeah, so other than setting up a national team, mm-hmm. I guess, yes, you're right, dragon boating is still a sport that's not really as popular as many
indeed.
Of the others. What else do you think can be done to elevate the sport?
I go back to awareness. Again, because the best dragon boat facilities that we have at this moment in the Klang Valley is in Putrajaya. Mm. So even if we have a race there, there is a slight difficulty in drawing the crowd to the race site. So one very interesting way that the Singaporeans have done in terms of trying to bring dragon boating to people instead is one particular company called Dragon Boat Innovate has run a race called Dragon Battle.
Dragon Battle, yep.
So it's actually a tug of war.
Okay.
Oh. A tug of war. They placed a dragon boat in a swimming pool, and they get teams to battle it out against each other, hence the name Dragon Battle. battle it out against each other.
As in pulling literally tug of war,
wow. But in a dragon boat.
Okay.
And because it's in a swimming pool setting, it's easier to get people to come out and see. And that's just one way to create more awareness about.
So do this kind of like small little things.
Correct. Small little things just to share with people that this sport exists, what exactly it entails, you know, how you can get involved and things like that.
And KL Barbarians is actually one of the... it's the first open dragon boating team.
Yep. So because I mentioned earlier, we became this team where there were more non-lawyers than lawyers. So we became that open corporate team, and that's where we've been ever since. We have a huge, very, very diverse group of individuals coming from varying backgrounds. You know, we have... yes, lawyers, we have doctors, dentists, lecturers, accountants, you know.
That was Leslie Lim, the team captain of KL Barbarians, a dragon boating team that is open to all. If you'd like to find out more about them and to check out, you know, schedules and news, that sort of thing, do head over to klbarbarians.com. And that brings us to the end of this week's show. Just to remind you that if you want to revisit the interview, you can check out the podcast at bfm.my. And also, the best way to keep in touch with our latest updates is by downloading our app via Google Play and the App Store. Thanks for listening. My name is Daryl Ong, and this is Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Join us again next week, and have a great weekend from all of us here at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.